Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. I'm Tom Kelly with you on a Sunday night, filling in for Big Daddy Graham. An odd Sunday for a few reasons. Number one, the Eagles did not play today, which, you know, it makes your Sunday feel a little empty, but you get to pay attention to the rest of the league, which is nice. The other reason why it's a weird Sunday, Mike Angelina is producing tonight. This is an unbelievable development. Mike usually does the Eagles games on Sunday. I mean, you could ask why he doesn't just do both, but Mike, thank you for coming into work tonight.
Yeah, it was, when I got the Eagles job, one of the first things I asked was, would I be off overnights? And yeah, obviously. But I mean, the two things that you're saying are make this Sunday weird are kind of the same reason. Like, I'm not here because the Eagles
true.
Didn't play.
Yeah, that's true. They are connected, so good point. So I'm proven wrong right off the bat. But we got plenty to get to throughout the course of the show. We'll get to a wild day of football. The witching hour was fantastic on Sunday. I structured this perfectly. I told you how I was going to do it because, I need to get my sleep. So I went home from the show yesterday at 6. Stayed up for a couple hours, went to sleep, woke up right around 3 o'clock, and I had recorded the Red Zone. And a great way to watch the Red Zone, if you're behind, you just watch it and fast forward, you don't miss a thing. You can see everything that's happening. Hey, keep track of your fantasy lineups. What I did was I screenshotted my fantasy matchups before 1 o'clock, so I wouldn't have to look on the app and see what the scores were. So I wasn't spoiled what was going to happen. So that's what I did there.
Why did you need to screenshot them?
Because I wanted to know who I was playing against. I know who my players are, but I wanted to know. So if somebody, you sound not underwhelmed by that.
You can't just look at it and make a mental note of it.
I don't have a photographic memory like you. I'm in four leagues. I mean, I got a bunch of teams I'm playing against.
Big fantasy guy.
Yeah, and by the way, league. We'll get to our fantasy
history in the making.
Check-in later on. Yeah, I could be pitching the 0-13, whatever it is. So I woke up, I watched that, and the end of the 1 o'clock games were crazy. For the second straight day, you had a team cost the game because they scored a touchdown, which you very rarely see, and we see it on back-to-back days on Saturday and Sunday between Penn State and the Atlanta Falcons. So we'll do our Week 7 recap later on, but yeah, that game, you had Cincinnati and Cleveland, which was crazy. Baker Mayfield leading the Browns down at the end of the game, and just a crazy day in the NFL, a World Series game at night. If you want to give Clayton Kershaw credit, I guess you can. I'm going to fault the Rays more than anything. We'll get to that later on. But plenty of stuff to get to throughout the course of the show, including an unbelievable, if you remember back when Mike McCarthy was interviewing for the Cowboys job, one of the main reasons he was hired was because of his new analytical approach, his new embrace of analytics, which he was very against when he was in Green Bay. And Kim Jones, NFL Network reporter, had a report on Mike McCarthy and one of the analytical numbers he looked into before their game with Washington. And this, you can't do deeper research than this. So we'll get to that later on as well. But that is where we will start. In the NFC East, as the Cowboys get steamrolled by the Washington football team 25-3 on Sunday afternoon. And as if it wasn't bad enough already for the Dallas Cowboys, Andy Dalton gets hurt on what was a total cheap shot from Jonathan Bostic. Fallout from that in the Cowboys locker room, how they kind of responded or didn't respond to that hit, which we'll get to as well. But even before that hit, Andy Dalton looked awful. After that gets injured, still you'd imagine he'd be better than this other guy they brought in, DiNucci. I don't know anything about this guy. I still haven't been able to find out much on him. The third string quarterback came in for the Cowboys. He is a rookie from James Madison. That's about all I know. But he comes in, it doesn't get any better, and the Dallas Cowboys are a complete mess. Their defense is pathetic. Their offensive line is more beat up than the Eagles right now. Players are complaining about the coach. The coach is beyond incompetent. By the way, Leslie, I am still waiting for your call. Leslie in Fort Lee, who was over the moon about his Cowboys hiring Mike McCarthy in the offseason. Still waiting on Leslie's call to eat crow on that one.
I bet you can hear him at 1:20 Monday morning.
Yeah, with Jody. He'll call Jody. He won't call me.
Tuesday morning, I should say.
Jody Mac!
Because he's a coward. Leslie is too cowardly to call this show because he doesn't want to take a beating about the Mike McCarthy stuff.
Yeah, he promised us promised me twice and has not done it either time.
Yeah, he tweeted me and he said he'd be talking to me on Tuesday morning. He
officially on the record.
That's fine. Whatever. I mean, we'll survive if we don't hear from Leslie, but it would be fun to make fun of him for a little bit for his horrible. And I don't like making fun of people, but man, he was over the top with the McCarthy takes. He deserves this one. Sometimes you just got to take your medicine a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he was watching Mike McCarthy press conferences for entertainment.
He was watching the tour of Mike McCarthy's office right on Cowboys.com. That's how deep Leslie was in here. But McCarthy is awful. It's becoming increasingly clear that Dak Prescott was a lot better than we all realized, to be honest with you, because he covered up for a lot wrong with that Dallas Cowboys team. But so be it, they lose badly to Washington. Cowboys are now 2-5. With the win, the Washington football team moves to 2-5. And the Giants are 1-6. And it's insane that every week, with less than inspiring results, be it close losses to the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens, I mean, two good teams the Eagles played, but they lost the games regardless. Or a one-point home win over the Giants that should not have been nearly that hard to secure that victory, even with these seemingly underwhelming results where you see a lot of issues and you see a lot of problems with this team, the Eagles continue to be in a far better position every day that passes at 2-4-1. And it really is incredible as they lead this division. And for weeks now, the conversation has been in many ways, and I've spoken about it with several callers, the question of, is it better for the Eagles to make the playoffs, see what you can do if you get in, if you win the division at 6-9-1, which is a perfectly nice record, 5-10-1, 7-8-1, whatever your record ends up being. Is it better to go that route and see what you can do in the postseason, or is it better to lose and get a higher draft pick? I, as you know, have been for weeks in the camp, make the playoffs, see what happens. You never know what can happen. And as a fan, it's just more fun to make the playoffs than to ride out a graveyard of a football season. Well, at this point, I would say that conversation is over for the most part. Because barring a complete and total catastrophe of epic proportions for this football team, the Eagles are going to win this division. Like, at this point, I don't know how you could not say they are the overwhelming favorites to win the NFC East. Despite all their issues, despite an inconsistent defense, despite a quarterback who has been erratic at best, bad at worst, tremendous at times, he has been erratic. I think that's probably the perfect word to describe it. An offensive line that has been beaten to a pulp. players at the skill positions out, losing your top two tight ends, your top three receivers, your top running back. After all that, the Eagles are in first place and are almost, in my mind, a shoo-in to win this division. When you look at the other teams, the team that we thought coming into the season was going to be the Eagles' chief competition, the Dallas Cowboys. I don't even think they are the Eagles' toughest competitor anymore in this division. Because obviously without Dak Prescott, this team is just not very good. Because it doesn't matter if you have Amari Cooper or you have CeeDee Lamb or you have any of these other guys. If you don't have a quarterback who can get them the ball and give them an opportunity to make plays, it doesn't really matter. You can't rely on that running game because the Cowboys' offensive line is beat up. They're garbage, and the running back is overrated, and he looks done already. You look at the Washington football team, who I think now, unbelievably, becomes the biggest threat to the Eagles. And I say threat very lightly. And I know Washington beat the Eagles in week one. And I know the Eagles collapsed in that game, and Washington sacked Carson Wentz a bunch of times, and they beat up on the Eagles' O-line. But that is not a good football team. That is not a good offensive team. With Kyle Allen at quarterback, whether it's Kyle Allen, Alex Smith, Dwayne Haskins, whoever you throw out there, that is not a quality football team that is going to win more than four or five games this year. It's just not. And I have full confidence that when the Eagles play Washington again at the Link in the final week of the season, whether it's for the division or not, I don't think it will be. I think the Eagles will have things wrapped up by that point. But if it was, I have full confidence that the Eagles will be able to take care of business, knock off Washington, and punch their ticket to the playoffs. Then you look at the Giants. The Eagles and Giants played a close game the other night. The Giants are one of the worst teams in football. They are not ultimately going to be a threat either. So as frustrating as the Eagles have been so far this year, and can be, they are the class of this bad division. And I guess if you think massive changes need to be made, you'll get your wish if they don't make the playoffs. Because now if the Eagles don't make it, there is no excuses to be made. There's nowhere to hide for anybody in this front office, anybody on this roster, anybody on this coaching staff. But as I said, I'm fairly certain that they will. And the question I have to start off is this. Has this last week, this week 7 in the NFL, be it an underwhelming Eagles victory, even though it was thrilling at the end, another bad Dallas loss in which Andy Dalton goes down, and even regardless of whether he's in there or quarterback, they're not a good football team anyway. Has this past week made you change the way you look at this season? And I don't mean in terms of making the playoffs, but as far as what this team could possibly do if and when they get there. And I'm not telling you this is a good football team right now. They're not in the Eagles. They're not very good. They have not played well. And I don't know when they are going to start playing well. It may not happen this year. It may happen in December. It may happen around Thanksgiving. I don't know when and if this team is going to turn a corner. But what I do know is that they have time to figure this thing out. They have time to figure this thing out in this division. As injured as they are, theoretically, they should get healthy at some point, bring some of these guys back to solidify this roster. And as frustrating as some of these games have been, there have been some positives to take. Whether it be the emergence of Travis Fulgham, a receiver who you can now rely on, I don't think just for this year, but beyond. Guys like Greg Ward and Boston Scott stepping up again and proving in a way that what they did at the end of last season wasn't just a fluke. That they can be productive players when the Eagles need them to be at certain points. That they do have a rapport with Carson Wentz. And can be playmakers for this team when called upon. Guys on the offensive line, reserve stepping up. Carson Wentz, heroic at times, even with the struggles that he's had. And as I said, couple that with the fact that you could get healthy come the end of the season, and you have the luxury not to rush these guys back. Like, that's what's so important to me, is you don't need to rush your players back at this point. Because every week isn't necessarily make or break with this team. As, you know, as annoying as it can be to see the Eagles not play great, they don't need to play great right now. They need to get their guys healthy. They need to get ready for the stretch run in December and into the postseason, because that is most likely where they are going to end up. How do you feel about this season now? How do you feel about the idea of the Eagles getting in the playoffs and making some sort of a run? And I know some people will hear this and probably are, you know, punching their phones or their radios right now, because I probably sound like Mr. Annoying Optimistic Homer guy. And you know, that's not normally who I am. But I see a team right now that is pretty much assured of going to the postseason. And in the NFL, that's half the battle. Especially this year, where if you're not the top seed, you're not going to get a bye anyway. So it doesn't really matter. For all the talk about, oh, they could get in at 6-9-1. Okay, they could get in 6-9-1 and be the 3 seed. There could be a team, whether it be Green Bay or Seattle or wherever, could be 13-3 and be the 2 seed. And you end up pretty much in the same situation. What's going to matter is that you're healthy and playing your best in December and into January. And that the quarterback is playing his best at the end of December and into January. And I see a pathway to that happening. So when you look at what's happened over the last couple weeks in this division, I don't know how you couldn't be way more optimistic about the Eagles and where this season is headed. I don't really care about the record right now, because quite frankly, it doesn't really matter. You just got to be the best of this 4-team group. And the Eagles are going to be the best of this 4-team group when it's said and done. They are going to win this division and end up in the postseason. And all that matters is how you're playing when you get there. 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494. If you want to get in, am I crazy for being way more optimistic about this season at this point? I know it's a bad division, but honestly, I don't think it matters. You just got to find a way to get to the postseason. And I have trouble seeing any scenario in which the Eagles don't do just that when you look at the teams that they are stacked up against in the NFC East. 215-592-9494. Open lines to start the show. If you want to get in, plenty of stuff to get to, including in the 3 o'clock hour. We are going to replay one of the, I think, most entertaining calls and one of the strangest calls to my show ever. It happened last Tuesday morning from a gentleman named Walt. And we'll replay this call, because we got to dig deeper into this, Mike. We need to investigate whatever Walt's theory was that he wouldn't totally clear up. We need to try to investigate this further.
Yeah, and you know, maybe some people hear it and maybe they come up with a theory, as people that didn't hear it
right
last week.
Yeah, maybe somebody else can help assist us in figuring out what Walt was trying to say, or what Walt wanted to say, but he was fearful. He was fearful for his life.
Literally, yeah.
Yeah, he really was. He really was.
Boy, this can be very interesting.
So, my co-host, Jolly, me and Jolly, doing a little co-host action next Saturday night for Daylight Savings. That'll be a good time. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'll have to catch up on the radio.com app.
You will. Thank you, Mike. 215-592-9494. When we get back, I want to look at the Eagles projecting forward a little bit. And why I'm so optimistic. I'm in a good mood tonight. I'm in a good mood about this team and about where this season is headed, because I think the Eagles are going to the playoffs. I'd be stunned if they don't. 215-592-9494. I'm Tom Kelly, in for Big Daddy Graham, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP. I'm Tom Kelly. And you know, it's really exciting night. You know what it means? Cowboy Week. Cowboy Week, Mike. We started Dallas sucks chant. What is true though, and I think every true blue Eagles fan feels this. I know my buddy Kevin on Twitter, I Rock Philly, the buddy lover, feels this way.
Sure,
you know it. I don't care if the Eagles went 2-14 every year, as long as those two wins are against Cowboys. That's all that matters.
I agree.
All that matters.
Hopefully that the 8 o'clock start doesn't put a damper in Cowboys week hatred.
That's true. The Eagles and Cowboys, they always do have like this mid-season Sunday night game.
Usually they're bad games, actually.
They are. Last year was, I think it was probably a year ago, like this weekend, where the Eagles went to Dallas and just got destroyed.
After Doug guaranteed the win.
Right. That was stupid. You knew the second Doug guaranteed that win that they were going to lose. That was stupid. But yeah, there was that game last year. The year before, remember it was a Sunday nighter here where Zeke ran for like 200 yards, something like that?
I do. Yeah,
Zach Ertz came up short.
Touchdowns.
Yeah, Zach Ertz ran a pattern like a half yard short of the first down marker, I remember. And that's pretty much it. But yeah, they always have these mid-season games.
Well, they had the overtime one with the walk-off Sammy Sleeves touchdown.
I was at that game.
That's right, yeah.
That was a great game to be at. I half remember that game. It was a bachelor party weekend. It was a long weekend, Mike. I remember Jordan Hicks had a pick six in that game.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and then he got hurt for the season after that. But it was a... And remember, that was when everybody fell in love for like a couple days with DeMarco Murray, because DeMarco Murray was on the sidelines calling out the Cowboys play defensive plays,
that's right.
And it was like, oh, what a good teammate, you know, what a real stand up guy. And it turns out like that's the only game DeMarco Murray cared about winning all year. He really didn't care about anything else. He just wanted to beat the Cowboys in that one game.
Right, and it wasn't necessarily because, you know, it's good for the Eagles. It was just his own personal agenda.
He was just angry the Cowboys didn't re-sign him to a deal, which turned out to be the right move because you never re-sign running backs to deals. So, yeah, it's that time of year when the Eagles and Cowboys are playing a Sunday night game. And, that's why we love Buddy Ryan in this town. He wasn't a great coach, but that doesn't matter. He hated the Cowboys. It's Cowboy Week. So we'll do some fun Cowboy Week stuff maybe tomorrow. You get an extra night of me this week, by the way, Till. I'm in Wednesday night. So
damn.
Should be exciting. 215-592-9494. I mentioned Ben DiNucci, who is replacing Andy Dalton, will replace Andy Dalton if he can't play on Sunday. Andy Dalton took an ugly hit in that game against Washington. But on Twitter, Joe Kornick sends me some very useful information at TommyKelly44 on Twitter. Says DiNucci's a Western PA kid, transferred to JMU from Pitt, was pretty dominant in the CAA, took them to a championship game last year. He's the grandson of former WWF wrestler Dominic DiNucci. That's all he got. That's all I got. So that's all he's got. So thank you to Joe for sending that in to us there.
It's more than either one of us had.
That's way more than I had. I just knew he was 7th-round pick from JMU. So Ben DiNucci could be the Cowboys quarterback when the Cowboys come to Philadelphia next Sunday night. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. 215-592-9494. As we look at the outlook for the season now, and, you know, as I said earlier, a lot of the conversation has been about would you rather the Eagles make the playoffs or lose and get a better draft pick. I've always thought the losing and get a better draft pick idea is kind of dumb. This isn't the NBA. This isn't a league where you can bottom out and one pick is going to change your fortunes. The only way I'd be in that situation is if you were going to draft a quarterback. The Eagles are not going to draft a quarterback, clearly. So I never thought that was a better option for this team than trying to make the playoffs and going on some sort of a run. And now I think that conversation is pretty much over. Because it's clear that without Dak Prescott, the Eagles are a far better team than the Cowboys. The Eagles are a far better team than Washington. A far better team than the Giants. Even if they have not played like it yet, we all know, talent-wise and track record-wise, the Eagles are better than all these teams. And a large part of the reason why I'm so confident that there's no way the Eagles are going to lose this division is when you project forward with this team, especially on the offensive side of the ball. And why it bodes so well is that, you know, these skill guys that the Eagles have are far better than any of us anticipated. And, you know, in a weird way, you got Travis Fulgham. He can fill that role that J.J. Arcega-Whiteside was supposed to fill. You know, when J.J. Arcega-Whiteside was selected, he was supposed to slot into that Alshon Jeffrey spot on the offense. He obviously hasn't developed into that. And we'll get to that a little later on as well, why some of these Eagles receivers specifically haven't developed the way we hoped they would. But you get Travis Fulgham. He can slot into that role. You'll get Jalen Reagor back at some point, hopefully next week. He's your speed guy. He's your DeSean Jackson type player. And then you'll get Dallas Goedert back, and he can be your Zach Ertz. And you look at the skill guys offensively. The Eagles have a lot more going for them than we thought at the beginning of the year in a lot of ways. And then it looks right now, and once these guys get healthy, I think this is going to be a really formidable offense. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Let's go to Danny in Columbus. Has a Ben DiNucci scouting report for us? What's up, Danny?
I wouldn't call it a scouting report, but I was in West Virginia last year, and we opened up against JMU, and I worked for the football team. And he was good. Like, he gave us a lot of trouble. So I have a bad feeling about this. This seems like a classic Eagles losing to a Cowboys third stringer or something like that.
When have the Eagles lost to a Cowboys third stringer, Danny? I don't remember.
It's never happened, but this team.
Well, how's that a classic? It can't be a classic if it's never happened.
It's a classic Eagles thing to do.
But they've never done it.
Okay, I'm talking about in general.
Okay, all right. So you're
lose the Dallas as a third string quarterback.
So you're worried about Ben DiNucci stepping in and dominating the Eagles next Sunday night.
He can't be any worse than how Andy Dalton looked today.
Well, I mean, that's probably true. I mean, Andy Dalton's been pretty terrible over these last 2 weeks. But Danny, how confident are you that the Eagles are going to win this division now? I mean, do you think it's a virtual certainty at this point?
I wouldn't call it a virtual certainty. I mean, we did lose to the football team. So I'm not 100% confident. I would say I'm about 90%.
90%?
Like, we didn't look great against the Giants. We easily could have lost that game, too. So I think we're getting a little too overhyped. Like, that Niners team is better than I thought they were, though. I mean, they killed the Patriots today.
Yeah, and the Eagles, thankfully, we're playing with them with the third-string quarterback. I appreciate the call, Danny. Thanks. You know, I think you got to... Obviously, we'll take what we've seen early in the season and apply it, but I don't think it's a crazy take here to assume the Eagles are going to get better over the course of the season. Because, as I said, these offensive players are going to come back. You know, as bad as the Eagles' injury issues are, they're not as bad as the Cowboys for several reasons. Cowboys have lost guys that aren't coming back. The Eagles players, theoretically, should be back at some point. And when you look at these skill spots, you know, and when you look at Carson Wentz's play, I think a lot of Carson Wentz's issues have been of his own making more than many people do. But you certainly can look at some of the players he's been playing with, look at some of the injuries, and if you believe that that has affected Carson Wentz's play, which from the people I've heard from, people I've spoken to, that's what a lot of people think. Because I heard Gus call Ricky, and I actually agreed with Gus that everybody rushes to Carson's defense and points out why he's not playing well. I think it's a little bit of a cop-out, but as some people look at it and think, you know, he's playing with all these backups, that's not going to be the case for the rest of the year. And as I said, the emergence of Fulgham is a big development for this team. Because you're going to end up getting Jalen Reagor back. You're going to end up getting Dallas Goedert back. You're going to get Miles Sanders back. You're going to get Zach Ertz back, who I think can be productive, albeit in less of a feature role than he's had in the past. Like, Dallas Goedert is going to be this team's primary tight end for now on, as he should be. He's the better player at this point. He's the more dynamic player at this point. But Zach Ertz, in a more limited role, I still think can be effective. And that's why it's not crazy to believe that the Eagles will be playing their best football and will be at full strength for the first time all season, probably late in the season, when you want to be playing your best. And when you look at that, and you look at getting those young guys back, and you look at the situation right now with Alshon Jeffery and DeSean Jackson, I have no desire to see either of those players return this year. I just don't. Whether it's Alshon or DeSean, and nobody likes seeing an injury, obviously. It's a shame what has happened to DeSean Jackson's career the last 2 years in Philadelphia, because obviously he just can't stay healthy anymore. And the other night it was a cheap shot. That was a very unfortunate situation. But in a way, I think losing DeSean Jackson is a bit of addition by subtraction here. Because I want to see the young guys. I want to see Rager. I want to see Hightower. I want to see Folgum. I want to see these players get their opportunity and develop a rapport with Carson Wentz. I want to see Jordan Mulata. I want Jason Peters back in the lineup when he's ready to return. If he wants to stay on the sidelines and be a reserve and help coach the kid up and be there in case of an emergency, then that's fine. But there's no need to put those players back on the field at this point. And when you look at the Eagles moving forward here, the skill spots, which we have talked about for years as being a massive issue with this team, they're not as bad now. They don't look nearly as bad now as they did prior to the season or even a few weeks ago. And you don't need these guys back immediately. As we've talked about here, you don't need them back right away when you look at the division and the fact that you've been afforded time. You've been afforded this opportunity. You just need to be playing your best late in the season and into the postseason. And with where the Eagles are and the prospect of getting some of their most critical players back later on in the season when they need to start turning a corner, when they need to start hitting their stride, makes me feel a lot better about where they are right now. 215-592-9494, 215-592-9494. Let's go to Steve in Egg Harbor. What's up, Steve?
Yeah, how you doing? Yo, Tom, don't jinx it for us, man.
I'm not jinxing it. Steve, I'm just giving my honest opinion. And I got to say, man, after what I saw this week and the past couple weeks out of this division, the Eagles aren't missing the playoffs this year. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, it can happen, and you know how it can happen.
How?
Okay? If Carson Wentz gets injured, he's playing like he's played in 2017. He's running the ball more. He's juking defenders out, man. What happens if he jukes the wrong way, man? His knee goes, or he jukes the wrong way, and somebody slams him from the side like we saw last year. You know it can happen.
Steve.
It can.
Steve, in this division, I'm telling you, I think the Eagles will win it with Jalen Hurts. I really do.
Well, I don't know about that. We haven't seen what this guy can do yet.
We've seen the other quarterbacks in the division.
I understand that, but if you really look back at the Giants game the other night, if Evan Engram just leans forward to catch that ball, the game's over. And we won 5-1, not 2-4-1. I mean, it's that close. I mean, and let's face the facts. Our defensive coordinator, tried his best to give San Francisco the game. I mean, we've won two games by the hair on our chinny chin chin, and you know what I'm talking about. And so, I mean, we haven't proven that we can dominate anybody yet. And, you know, in a season that has been as crazy as this, in a world that has been as crazy as this in the last year, there is nothing guaranteed Sunday night.
No, well, Steve, as beat up as they've been, though, like, do you agree that projecting forward, getting these young players back, getting these guys back on offense, that the Eagles should only improve on that side of the ball?
Yes, but I don't want to say it.
Well, I mean, Steve, I got to tell you, as much I understand your you know, you don't want to mess up. You don't want to mess. Yeah, you don't. Your caution. You don't want to mess up the karma here. But I'm telling you, I don't think it's going to have much of an effect.
I hope it doesn't, you know, because you know, I'm a diehard. I'm a diehard. Everything. I'm a Philly guy. I mean, I'm from Roxborough. So I mean, you know, I mean, I'm in Jersey now, but I was born in Roxborough. I'm a Philly guy, 100%. I want to see us make this playoffs, whether we go 4-11-1. You know, and you know, you just never know. If we get healthy, I really believe if we get healthy, we have a shot to beat anybody. You saw the game tonight. You saw Seattle. You saw, you know, the Cardinals. These guys don't have a defense either. So, I mean, if we get our guys back and we get healthy going into the playoffs, I'm not going to predict anything and say we're going to the Super Bowl because I'm not that crazy.
That is
but we
crazy.
Can win a game, and if we get lucky, we can win two games, and then we're in the NFC Championship. You just don't know.
Exactly, Steve, and I appreciate the call. And it's one of those things where I'm not saying this team's going to the Super Bowl, but I'm just saying getting to the postseason is half the battle. And from what I have seen over the last couple weeks, I would be beyond stunned if the Eagles don't win this division. And hey, for people who do think they need major organizational changes, maybe the division being this much of a dumpster fire is good for you too, because if the Eagles don't win it, they're going to have to make some sort of major change. If the Eagles don't win this division with how bad it is and how compromised the Cowboys now are, if they're not able to get to the playoffs, it's a massive disappointment. It's a massive disappointment.
That doesn't mean they're a bad organization, though. Like, they don't need organizational changes.
Well, I don't necessarily think they do, but I know a lot of people do believe that. And think that was the whole argument, Mike, about why it might be better to miss the playoffs and bottom out and get a higher draft pick. I don't believe that. I don't think things in the NovaCare complex are as bad as people make them out to be. I mean, you don't have the kind of locker room issues, and you've never really had them under Doug, that you already have down in Mike McCarthy's locker room.
Right.
So I don't believe that. I think getting to the playoffs is half the battle. And do you see any way they don't win this division? Like, do you think there's any chance they don't win it?
A little bit of a chance, but I don't know, the 65% chance they win it.
Who would win it if the Eagles don't? Washington?
I think the football team.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
I think the football team is, and I know the football team beat the Eagles, but, you know, I think what happens in week one, I'm not going to put a ton of stock in that. And Steve makes a good point. I mean, the Eagles are a play away from losing to the Niners. They're an Evan Ingram catch away from losing to the Giants at home. But I just project forward here, and I see what Carson Wentz has been able to do at times, where if he can stabilize that play to a certain degree, he doesn't need to be perfect, but if he can eliminate the turnovers, if they get these players back, all of a sudden, like, Mike, what do you think of this? You get Rager, mm-hmm. Goddard, Ertz, Sanders back, this becomes a pretty dynamic offense.
Yeah, and, you know, hopefully Johnson at 100%.
I don't think that's happening this year.
Yeah, probably not. There's a chance Seumalo in December, right? He can come back, I think.
Yeah, Seumalo will be back at some point. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know. This is an odd feeling for me. I'm not usually the overly positive person. It kind of makes me feel a little uncomfortable. But I'm feeling pretty good tonight about the Birds after what we saw in that Dallas-Washington game. Wasn't overly impressed with either of those teams.
I was actually impressed with the football team.
You were impressed?
Yeah, I thought they played really good defense, and they ran the ball and were pretty physical.
Yeah, it's so hard to tell anything against Dallas because the Cowboys might have the worst defense I've ever seen. They really might. And their offense isn't much better at this point.
Yeah, it's like they shouldn't, though. Like, you look at the names on the defense, it doesn't make any sense why they're this bad.
Yeah. This is probably going to be a one-and-done for McCarthy, I'm thinking.
Definitely for Nolan. Actually, I think McCarthy gets at least a second year, maybe even three.
Maybe. We'll see how the rest of the year goes. But we'll get to McCarthy a little later on. He had some he really dove deep into the analytics before this Washington game to stress the importance of it to his football team. And obviously it didn't work very well. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. 215-592-9494. When we get back, I have a social media gripe for you. And I think this is a pretty good one that I got on tap. And also, want to open up a little side topic here off of, because it's still, there was a play that happened over the weekend that, I don't know, maybe I'm in the minority. I talked a little bit about it last night. I think it's the worst call I've ever seen in sports. One of the worst calls I've ever seen. So we will talk about that a little when we return. I'm Tom Kelly, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP, I'm Tom Kelly, in for Big Daddy Graham on a Monday morning. And happy National Tight Ends Day to everybody out there. I saw this on trending on Twitter. It's National Tight Ends Day today. So great, I guess. I didn't know there was a National Tight Ends Day. I didn't, you know, I know we usually do the days right. That's usually Mike's job, but I saw this one, so I figured I'd take this upon myself to wish everybody out there a hashtag Happy National Tight Ends Day. So that's what day it is today. And I have a social media gripe for you real quick before I want to dive into a side topic here. But on Saturday, I was watching that Penn State-Indiana game, and I tweeted at halftime about James Franklin being a terrible coach, because James Franklin is a terrible coach. Howard Eskin says it all the time. Where I told you last night, where I was working at Chickies and Pete's every Monday, and Howard would always make fun of James Franklin, because Brandon Graham's a Michigan guy, and Howard would also always say how bad of a coach James Franklin is, and he is. He's a terrible coach. He's a good recruiter, gets talented players to Penn State, but he is a terrible in-game coach, and he was an awful coach on Saturday and cost that team so many different ways. But this led to a response I got that is my social media gripe for the day. And I'm sorry if I sound a little distracted. I'm trying to find the exact tweet here because I want to give this person proper credit for the tweet he sent to me. But I'm sorry, Jolly. I'm trying to find the exact tweet. I'm having trouble. So be it. I'm not going to be able to get the guy's name. Oh, I got it. It's Adam at @ashibo5. Tweets at me, I'm big on Franklin being overrated, but he didn't throw two horrible balls or drop the ball on the ground multiple times. Bad take here, my guy. I hate the my guy. Have you seen that, Mike, that people will tweet at, will address people and call them my guy?
It's like calling somebody chief, right?
Yeah, but it's like even worse than chief. Like if you want to give me chief, you want to give me boss, I'm fine with one of those.
Pal. But
yeah, my guy. Like, no, I'm not your guy, Adam. At @ashibo5. Not your guy.
We're not guys, yeah.
Yeah, they're like, I would never tweet at somebody and be like, bad take here, my guy. Do you agree with that one or not?
I agree. Yeah, it does kind of come off as, we can't say the word.
Right, just, you got to be careful.
You know what, yeah.
No, I just don't like the my guy. That's my social media gripe for today, and I think it's a decent one. It's a social media thing. It bothers me every time, pretty much.
Did you have one yesterday? I missed your show yesterday.
I did not have one yesterday. I had another one that I took note of, I believe, but now I forget what it is. I'm gonna have to pull up the notes on my phone. I don't have it right now. I'll give it to you tomorrow if I remember it, or else I'll come up with another one. But my guy is the social media gripe of the day. But watching that Penn State game, I am not a Penn State fan. I can't stand Penn State. So what happened at the end of that game did give me great joy. My brother is a Penn State alum. My sister-in-law, Penn State alum. And they are very annoying when it comes to the Nittany Lions. And I always root for Penn State to lose. So when they lost that game in the fashion they did, after scoring when they weren't supposed to score, giving up in a touchdown and 2-point conversion, sent it to overtime, then subsequently, after scoring themselves in overtime, losing on a 2-point conversion, I thought it was pretty funny. But the call at the end of that game, I just don't understand it. And I'll explain it in further detail in a second. If you saw it, you know what I'm talking about. As the Indiana quarterback runs to the sideline, dives for the pylon, two-point conversion. If they don't get it, Indiana loses. If they do get it, Indiana wins. And here was the call and the subsequent review on FS1.
It comes down to this play.
Oh my gosh. He's not down, is he? How about that full strength, full spread? Is anything out of bounds? Wow. Wow.
Aaron's
a 22-foot long jumper in high school. I think he's in bounds. Nothing hits.
Does the ball
show that angle again? Hold. That might be different. Very impressed by Tom Allen's program building. Regardless of, here's the verdict.
After review, the ruling on the field stands. Touchdown.
Now, the way this play went, and I don't understand how this is the outcome, where the quarterback dives. He extends his arm fully toward the end zone with the ball in his hand. The ball touches down out of bounds just short of the pylon, then falls forward, hits the pylon, and they rule it a touchdown on the field. Now, they go to Mike Pereira for the review, and Mike Pereira kind of says you can't overturn the call on the field, where normally I think that is a good baseline. You can overturn the call on the field if it's clearly not right. And that was clearly not right. Like, it defies the laws of physics that the ball could break the plane and then hit the ground and fall forward and hit the pylon. Does it not, Mike?
I don't understand why you're saying it. Like, why it defies physics that it... So you're saying that... I guess I'll start with, I'm not as clear as you are, it seems, that it was out of bounds first.
Well, I think there are angles. If you watch the video, you can see that it hits down out of bounds prior to the
mark in the turf, yeah.
Right. But I think it's pretty clear that the way that camera was set up, it's a very deceptive camera angle. Like, the camera's at the one-yard line, so you're looking at it diagonally that way. It's obviously going to appear that the ball might have crossed the plane, but there's no way it possibly could have if it falls down short and then hits the pylon. And I just thought it was a terrible call. Like, yeah. I'm happy Penn State lost, but I think it was a terrible call, and I don't know how it didn't get overturned.
I don't think it was a terrible call. It's too close of a call to be a terrible call. Like, it was such a... bang bang play that it doesn't qualify to be a outrageous call in any way.
Well, I'll say this: obviously, one of the sports books agreed it's a terrible call. DraftKings refunded people's money, which is not something that sports books do very often.
But wouldn't they cover it anyway? Well, if you had
Penn State money line, they refunded the money.
Okay,
because I mean, and have you ever seen that happen before?
No.
And referees blow calls to cost people money all the time. So, I don't know. I thought that was a terrible call. And I just want to know, you know, what are some of your worst calls of all time that you can remember that were, game-altering calls? Because I thought that was one of them. I thought that was just... I don't understand how after review they could stick with a call that, in my mind, was obviously wrong. What? 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 Mike, maybe you disagree. You disagree. You think he was in there?
So I agree with you that I think it was out, but given how close it was, and I don't think there was that clear, definitive shot that they made it beyond doubt that it had to be overturned. I think they made the right call, not confirming it, but not overturning it.
Well, I think there may, even if you make the argument there's not a definitive shot, it's just like the laws of physics. It can't hit the ground, fall forward, hit the pylon, but have already been across. When he didn't, He didn't reach his arm out and then pull it back.
Yeah, I don't think going over the laws of physics is in the replay right. protocol.
I'm just saying. I thought it was short. I thought it was a bad call. Obviously, we disagree with that one there.
But it was too close of a call to even qualify as a bad call. Like a bad call has to be one that's like there's no like you know there's no borderline nature to it.
I don't know. I thought it was pretty. I didn't think it was borderline. Like I thought it was clear cut short of being a good conversion.
It's pretty close to borderline.
If you want to give me your worst calls, obviously I think it's a bad call. Mike thought it was a tremendous call.
I didn't say that.
So if
it you want to Nate Gary of calls,
right. Mike loves Nate Gary and he loves those Big Ten officials. So if you want to get in and give us your thoughts, you're welcome to 215-592-9494. Let's get John Allentown in here. What's up, John?
Hey, DJ.
How's it going, man?
I'm taking issue with you being happy that they lost. But
being happy, I am happy that they lost. I hate Penn State.
I know, but I take issue with that because I'm a Penn State guy. But listen, I agree with you. I don't have a problem with it being called a touchdown, but after looking at the video where you can clearly see the ball hits the white out of bounds line and then moves in his hand and then hits the pylon. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it was video. They had the video evidence to overturn the call.
Right, John. And I just think it's funny when everybody will say, you know, well, you can't overturn the call on the field. It's like, well,
that's what the video's for.
Right, that's what the review's for. And if you see that it's clearly not the right call, of course you can overturn it.
Absolutely. Now, listen, I agree with you that James Franklin is a horrible coach.
He was awful in that game. Yeah.
I don't know how every single offensive player, skill player on that team did not know if you break into the clear, you go down.
Right.
I mean, how did they not drill that into their head before they went out there? How was it the last thing said in the huddle, which is the quarterback's fault as far as I'm concerned? You just remind everybody, you go down. Because if they go down, they're not even talking about it. I mean, they run the clock out. But, I mean, Franklin made horrible call after horrible call in that game. I mean, he's a horrible in-game coach. I agree with you.
Yeah,
right there,
John,
but
I mean, in the first half, putting the backup quarterback in at the one-yard line, like, what was that about? That it ends up in a fumble.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, your backup quarterback doesn't even run as good as your quarterback.
Right.
Who can actually throw or run. I mean, that was a horrible call. That should never happen.
And then the other, John, it's like I can count so many, but then you try the 57-yard field goal that comes up 2 yards short when you could easily have ran another play and gotten like 5 more yards. It was just,
exactly.
It was unbelievable how many ways he messed that up. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a horrible in-game coach. I agree.
Yeah.
Eagles, TK, I love you, man, and I'm optimistic. I'm very optimistic as well, but I can definitely see the Eagles doing their thing where they play down to the teams they should smoke and not winning this division. I hate to say it, but I mean, they play down to their opponents and then they play up to the good teams. And that's what happened so far this year. I mean, they played down to the Giants where they should have smoked that team. I mean, but then they were up against the good teams. I mean, they do that all the time. So I can definitely see a scenario where we lose to the Cowboys with a third-string quarterback.
Yeah,
I can see a scenario where we lose to the Giants 2 weeks from now. I mean, 3 weeks from now after the bye. I can see it.
They have shown that propensity to play down to their level of their competition, John, but I don't see that happening. I think the Eagles do take care of business the next 2 weeks. And what we've seen what we've seen the last couple of years, too, is they do have a track record of playing their best in December and into January, and especially with them likely getting healthier around that point. I don't see any reason to believe that would be different this year.
And TK, I have one thing to tell you.
Sure.
I'm not overwhelmed by Rager, just so you know. What we saw before he got injured, I wasn't overwhelmed with him before that. So him coming back, I don't know how great that's going to be. He's definitely not a replacement for DeSean Jackson yet, because he definitely does not have the hands that Jackson has. But, you know, we'll see in the years to come.
Yeah. No, I got you, John. I appreciate the call, man. Thanks.
Thanks, brother.
Yeah, appreciate it. And, yeah, I mean, I'll say this. I was not a huge fan of the Rager pick on draft night. I was on right after the draft show that night, and I blasted it and said I thought they should have traded up for CeeDee Lamb or taking Justin Jefferson. But I'll say what I saw from Rager before him getting injured, I was actually impressed. Like, I thought he showed the ability in that Washington game to get down the field and separate. He made a big play. He had another one where he's wide open. If Wentz hits him, that's a touchdown. I liked what I saw from Rager, and I do think he has that ability to be a Deshaun type.
Yeah, I agree, too. In the Rams game, I thought the Eagles kind of showed what they think of him, too. It seemed like they featured him a lot and used him a lot of different ways in plays in that game. Yeah, everyone's just kind of chalking him up as like a bust of a pick, and I don't
played a game and a half. It's like
I mean, he broke his thumb on like a bad throw from Wentz anyway.
Yeah, it was a high throw where I thought he got hit in the ribs or something because it was one of those balls. But he broke his finger. But before that, I was actually impressed. I think he's going to help. And once you get him back and you add that kind of downfield dynamic element that you already kind of have with Hightower, but you add Hightower with Rager, all of a sudden you have speed, you have the big body 50-50 guy in Fulgham, you have Goddard and Ertz work in the middle, Sanders in the backfield. I don't know. That's the one spot where I think at the skill spots, the Eagles are going to have a pretty dynamic offense when they get all these guys back.
Yeah, I agree. So, good play caller.
Yep. Well, we'll get to that a little more in the 3 o'clock hour because I do not think Doug has been a great play caller. Certainly Thursday night. It might have been his worst game ever calling plays. He was that bad on Thursday night. So we'll get to that coming up in the 3 o'clock hour here. I see Mike in South Philly there. We'll have to talk to Mike. I have a feeling Mike is not going to agree with my overly positive take. Even though Mike's been more positive on the Eagles lately, I'm being a little over the top. I'm kind of annoying myself tonight with my positivity. So I'm going to have to dial it back, get a little more negative in the 3 o'clock hour. And before we get to Mike, I'm going to need to get Mike's opinion on this Walt phone call. So we'll hear from Walt when we get back. A gentleman named Walt called the show last week and was alluding to some different things here that we need to get to the bottom of. So we'll replay this call from Walt, and we'll talk to Mike when we return. 215-592-9494. I'm Tom Kelly, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.